This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on a Monday. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Coming up this hour, Connor O'Gara is going to join us from Saturday Now South. We'll talk college football. We'll also get the good, the bad, and the dumb, continuing to look at Week 15 in the NFL. So the College Football Playoff Committee came out with its final rankings as we get ready for bowl season now, and really no surprise. I don't think anybody was really expecting anything wild once the conference games, the championship games were over. Ohio State got in. Texas A&M did not. Notre Dame got in despite losing. We didn't think they wouldn't. We didn't think Alabama was going anywhere because they were perfect and number one and rolling along. And Clemson with that win, same thing. I don't think anybody was really blown away by it. But the committee is taking its shots, and its shots because of how they did everybody else behind it. They claim they'd watch a lot of football, and people are saying, really? Have you really been watching a lot of football? Because we feel like you haven't. And I know I told this story before, but I think it's, you know, it kind of reminds me of a friend of mine that got a Harris poll vote years ago. And we're talking like maybe 10, 11 years ago. And he wasn't a college football savant. I mean, he was a guy that did some play-by-play in college football, but he was more of a baseball guy. Yet he landed a Harris poll vote. And I was like, hey, that's great. And I remember one Saturday, he said he was going to Wyoming to watch Colorado State in Wyoming. And I said, why are you doing that? He says, oh, I'm a Harris poll voter. And I said, that has nothing to do with being a Harris poll voter. Like, why are you driving up there to watch a game, even if you're going to sit in the press box and eat food? And you should be in front of the television with about 17 screens around you. Like, you're better off at a sports bar than you are at one college football game in the middle of Wyoming. And I don't think he really understood what I was saying, which is you have a responsibility to, like, Nebraska to figure out where they're at. You have a responsibility to Auburn. You have a responsibility to Ohio State. You don't need to be going around on a Saturday to various college football games because now you're one of the elect few that gets a vote. You should be at home watching these games, studying these teams, and knowing what you're talking about when you finally put them in a very important poll. So people are basically making the same assessment of the committee. You claim to be watching all these games, but did you? Because a lot of us feel they didn't. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue hour two. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday, holiday Monday, because we always feel good about the holidays, and we're going to feel even better with the good from the good, the bad, and the dumb. Lay it on me, Ron Culver.
All right, the good of the day, I gotta start by saying this. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So gotcha. If you don't want to hear anything about The Mandalorian, too bad. Right?
It's worth the good in the good, the bad, and the
it's
dumb.
It's worth the good. So there was a little cameo in the final episode of The Mandalorian, a certain Jedi made his return, capital R, you see what I did there?
Right. And you might as well give it away. You already gave spoiler alerts. So.
I mean, you and I talked about it before the show. Luke Skywalker made his triumphant return. We finally got to see Luke Skywalker in all his glory. It was a complete, like, father-like-son moment.
Yeah, like Rogue One.
Like Rogue One.
Kind of went through those robots like Darth Vader did those rebel soldiers.
Fantastic.
How dare those rebel soldiers try to go up against Vader.
But that was good. But the real good of it, which I had no clue, and Mark Hamill posted this on Twitter, that was kept a secret for over a year.
Wow.
And in this day and age, where spoilers are, I mean, it's... They're easy. You're easy to find scripts. You're easy to find, you know, any type of knowledge. There wasn't even a hint of it throughout the entire season.
You know what they do? I think when the people that know, they say to them privately, you're the only one who knows. So if any of this gets out, you're in trouble.
Well, that's what, I mean, Mark Hamill always talked about.
Right. About Darth Vader.
About Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That he, you know, it was George Lucas, and somebody else, I can't remember, were the only three people on the planet. Irv, what was the director's name? Irv Kirshner?
Yeah, so if this gets out to the trades,
we know it's you.
We know it's you. So don't you even think about it. You'll never work in this town again, kid.
So right? But I was really impressed by that, the fact that that was kept a secret. Because that's not, hey, you know a storyline. That's, hey, we've shot and edited, and you know this guy pretending to be Luke has already been filmed. Because it is a body double, and then they just slap Luke's face on it at the end of it.
They did some CGI work.
A whole production crew knew that was, who it was, and that's amazing to me that that never got out.
It was very cool, or maybe just a season of Mandalorian. It's amazing how people can get around space so fast, right? Like our heroes are in trouble, and here comes Luke.
Well, right? It took him a while.
Well, I mean, Baby Yoda
reached out.
Yeah, but. Let's put it in the context of space. Okay,
remember, even when
Han Solo jumped to light speed in Star Wars to get to Alderaan, they chilled out in light speed for a few minutes.
Yeah, but he made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Right. So, but that was in the Millennium Falcon, not the simple X-wing fighter. I can't believe we're geeking out on Star Wars, but that's great.
But now
good for the Mandalorian.
We all know that all those ships have light speed capabilities.
Yeah, that's right. So good for the Mandalorian.
It was a fun episode. It's a great show. It's doing Star Wars justice, in my opinion.
Yep.
It feels good.
Is that the only good?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, then we got to get to the bad, because it is still the holiday week, so still feel good, but here's the bad.
Yeah, here's the bad. Carson Wentz is no Aaron Rodgers.
He's no Aaron Rodgers. Means he doesn't get a Rodgers rate at State Farm?
No, he will not get the Rodgers rate at State Farm.
Yeah.
Nor did Carson Wentz seize the opportunity like Aaron Rodgers did when your team drafted a stud quarterback.
Right. Exactly.
So we can go back in time to the 2020 draft, which we all remember because it was the highlight of our April.
Yeah, and remember, it was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Jordan Love was drafted, and Aaron Rodgers was not too pleased, and then has set out this season to pretty much prove why Jordan Love will never see the field.
Yeah,
Jordan Love doesn't even see mop-up duty.
Right. It's a price you pay for wasting a first round pick on a guy that the leading quarterback does not want to see the field at all.
Yeah,
and doesn't want to pay him what you want to pay him, but he's not getting a job here.
Now, Jalen Hurts was not drafted in the first round. He was actually drafted in the second.
That's right.
And Carson Wentz didn't do anything to stop Hurts from taking his
job. Should have said the same mentality.
I don't know how you go back.
No, you don't.
The Eagles look so much better. They are so much. That was a fun game against
the Cardinals. That was the funnest game of the weekend. These two Oklahoma quarterbacks dueling it out in Glendale. It was a fun game. These guys chucked it all over the place. I mean, Murray had over 400 yards passing. Hurts had 338.
Yeah.
They combined for 6 touchdowns. They only threw one interception between them. I mean, they were running all over the place too. Don't forget that. It was a blast. It was a blast.
Yes, the Eagles come up short, but this is the first time all season, where the Eagles lose, the Eagle fan loses, and they're like, that was great.
Yeah,
sure.
Are you
kidding me?
Future's bright. Got a good, we'll see.
I mean, now there's a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Which is fitting.
You're right, because you're absolutely right. There was no Aaron Rodgers like, hey, we are not doing this.
Yeah, Carson Wentz didn't grab the bull by the horns at all. He was just like, they paid me already. I'm good to stay here. It's like, no, that's not how the NFL works.
Yeah, John Elway had this problem in Denver when they drafted Tommy Maddox. Dan Reeves drafted Tommy Maddox. He was like, oh, we're not doing, no.
We are
not playing this game. Oh, no.
Go ahead and draft him for a sixth round. Try to find someone who will take on his contract. We're done here.
Yep, exactly.
That's really what it is. I mean, it's amazing. Like Carson Wentz, I mean, he signed that huge deal. Are the Eagles stuck with him?
Yeah,
Do they have to play him because they have to pay him?
There's some devils in the details that are just like the minutiae of the deal that are just like Carson Wentz is too expensive to dump. You got to get a trade partner who's willing to buy in that chunk of money. And there's all these little things that are going. It's just not as simple as Hurts is our new guy and Carson will, you know.
Right.
But you find a way to figure it out. That's what you pay these guys in the front office to do.
But that fan base, that Eagle fan base, they'll let you know what they want.
Sure.
They're not going to lay over. And let's face it. I mean, you know, remember when the Texans signed Brock Osweiler and just right. that absurd contract? They found a willing trade partner because that team had to spend cash.
That's right. They did. That's exactly right. So there might be a team that is in the same boat. Like, we got to get some, we got to dump some money, pay some money. We have to spend. We'll spend it on Carson Wentz, but we really don't really care.
We don't care.
We're just doing it for, because luxury we're required to, yeah, we're required to by the NFL to make sure we reach a certain spending threshold. We'll do it without, you know, while we rebuild the team, and fine, we'll take it. Yeah, you're right. That's probably the best avenue, is to find the team that is like, fine, yeah, we can't, you know, we have to do it. So you're right.
Maybe
all right, what's the dumb of the day? Maybe the Broncos is right.
The dumb of the day is Charlie Woods.
Charlie Woods in the dumb?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because at 11 years old, he's already a better golfer than I am.
God, he's great, isn't he?
I would not want to be on the same course with him. I don't want to be a partner with him. He would make me look foolish every single stroke.
I said it last week. I remember when we first did the story. I was like, I have no interest in seeing these kids play golf. I want to see their dads play golf. But I take it back. He was mesmerizing. I watched every clip on social media. Yeah. I saw a little bit of it on, because it was bouncing around. It was on like Peacock and NBC. Yeah,
that too was dumb.
I couldn't find it.
I mean, ESPN, this was any sports channel, this is a marquee event out of nowhere.
Right.
You scramble to find a way to cover it.
Exactly.
Or but golf when channel, I saw just show it live,
he was so good. I mean, he was, that kid is really talented.
Fair.
Hey, look, I was telling my son this. I think I said this last week. This is the thing. If you're Charlie Woods, well, here's the thing. Everyone is blown up. Everyone is going crazy. Like, his swing just looks just like his dad's. I'd be blown away if his swing didn't look like his dad's.
True.
Like, what did we think he was gonna swing like Jim Furyk? His father is teaching him how to play golf, right? Look, when I was younger and I wanted to play golf, I remember I had a videotape. It was Jack Nicklaus Golf My Way, okay? And Jack kind of has this like sway in his swing where he kind of leans back. He turns, but he kind of has more of a sway. And that's how I swang the golf club. I didn't swing it like Nicklaus, but that was my style because that's how I learned. I tried to copy what was on the tape. If your dad is Tiger Woods, your swing looks like your dad's. That's just the way it's going to be. But also think about this. Let's say Charlie Woods is 7, right? And he goes up to his dad and he's like, "Dad, I like what you do. I want to do what you do. I want to be a golfer."
Done.
His dad is like, "Okay, kid, here's what we got. 3 putting greens in the backyard, a chance to hit wedge shots and full irons for you because you're 7. So that's in the backyard anytime you want. But let's say it's raining here in Jupiter, Florida. I got a simulator that will measure every little detail of your golf swing. And we've got 1,000 clubs. We can narrow a couple down, pick your poison, yep, whatever you want. Oh, and if you really want to play, we got the Medalist Club or pretty much any golf course in America that my private jet can get to."
Yeah.
And like, you know, that's what's on the table for
me. And because I had the private jet, we can be COVID friendly.
That's right. Exactly.
You know, we can fly. You want to go to that golf course in Montana? Let's do it.
That's right. Oh, you know what? I remember once playing a course in Alabama that was very favorable to young golfers. We'll be there for lunch.
Yeah.
Right. I'll make a few phone calls. We'll be there. Done. Like, that's what is on the table for Charlie Woods to become successful. But boy, you got to then take it to that next level. And he took that 5-wood shot he had that landed 4 feet from the cup.
That's what I'm talking about.
Give me 1,000 shots from that location. I would not wrap it around and land it 4 feet.
And there's pressure.
Yeah, it's on TV.
You're in a golf tournament. Everyone knows they're talking about you. He's got to know that, you know, he's being talked about. We don't even know anybody else. I mean, we know that, hey, you know, Lee Trevino played with his grandson or something like that. Or Jim Furyk was in. We don't know any of those details, but we know Charlie Woods was in this tournament with Tiger Woods, and he showed up.
He showed up. It was great.
He even had a little fist pump.
He did. Again, he's mimicking his dad in every capacity.
Yes.
Like most of us do when we're younger.
That's why it's dumb.
Love
him. I can't wait. I want to follow him now.
When he gets to be a 16, 17-year-old full-out kid, like you know, maybe 6'2 or whatever he is,
yeah,
he's gonna kill this sport.
Does he go to college?
I don't know, man. He just go right to the pros. His father's probably gonna be like, "Hey, here are the pitfalls, right? I know a few I have to tell you about, but here's just the natural ramifications of going pro early. And then there's also this other side stuff you want to avoid in case you don't want to be chased out of the house with a 7-iron.
Yeah. When did that conversation come?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when mom rescued me?
Remember when mom rescued me? Yeah. We're going to redefine rescue and turn it into chased me out to try to kill me. Okay. That's the new definition.
And honestly, son, saying your glutes are activated or deactivated doesn't help your cause.
Doesn't help at all. No. Exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Hey, today's show brought to you by The Athletic, delivering every sports story that matters. Got great local writers covering your favorite teams. Plus, they got national names. Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Liz and Jones are providing the unrivaled league-level perspective and coverage that you're looking for. It's all personalized and ad-free. You just open it up, and you got your favorite team and the favorite team stories right away. But you could dive into any team you want. The Athletic has the sports coverage that you need. This holiday season, from now until the end of the year, so you got some time, but get on it right away. Spread the joy of better sports coverage. Give an annual subscription to The Athletic. Get one free. One price, two subscriptions to every team. Same rooting interests are not required for this. Head over to theathletic.com/BOGO radio to unwrap this deal. Again, theathletic.com/BOGO radio. All right, we'll talk about the Jets again and an interesting wagering situation for New York. And then we've got Connor Ogarek joining us from Saturday Down South to talk some college football as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking, don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. Professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, Connor Ogarek is going to join us Saturday Down South in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk college football with him. Somebody just posted it on Twitter that, you know, it was one of those throwbacks on this date in sports history kind of things. Do you remember in 2003? I mean, going back a long time ago, the Saints had this game against Jacksonville that they had to win to get in. And at the end of the game, they do this miracle lateral play. It's like everybody's getting the ball, and you know, they finally score. They make the score 20-19. They got to win to keep their playoff hopes alive, so they got to go for the tie. And then John Carney misses the extra point, back when the extra point was a chip shot. It was just devastating. It's so sad. Speaking of sad, the Jets beat the Rams. Ugh, it's gonna be, for the Rams, it's gonna be miserable. For the Jets, it's going to also be miserable.
Nah, it's got to be miserable for the Rams. I mean, you don't want to
beat you don't want to lose
team.
Them. No, not at all. Not at all. The Rams, I mean, look, the Rams are still fighting for the division. They're still fighting. I mean, they're like in a race for a couple of goodies here, right? They're not interested in like, oh, we just let off our guard. We don't care. Yeah, they do care. They're fighting with Seattle for the division. They were fighting for the top spot in the NFC. You know, hopefully a win would, you know, keep pace with what Green Bay is doing. The Saints had already lost. So the Jets win. They are now 1-13. So I looked this up because I wanted to know what the betting line was for the Jets on a straight up win. So if you bet the Jets to win every game, forget the spread. Just bet the Jets to win the game outright. You put $100 on the Jets the whole season, you'd be down $1,300, right, going into the game against the Rams. You put another $100, they were $1,300 straight up on the money line. So you would have won all your money back with one. You just keep betting the Jets. Here's a hundred. Someday they'll win. The other teams, it doesn't really work out that way. Like, if you bet $100 to keep them winning, you don't make. The Jets were like, here you go, cash out. You're back to even money. Don't keep doing this. We don't want to see you down on the negative again, because this joy won't last. But take your even money after 13 weeks, 14 weeks, and 15 weeks and be done. But the Jets loss really opened eyes again. We talk about this all the time, and it's a difference between what the players feel and what the fans feel. The players aren't interested in playing the lottery game, getting into the draft, getting a quarterback. They don't, because none of them are guaranteed to be around They don't know where their future lies. What they know is they've got to play in this league at a high level, time in and time out. They have to. If they don't, and there's tape of them missing tackles and screwing up and intercepting, you know, dropping balls and intercepting passes and then dropping them and whatnot, then it's going to be around the league and they're going to be suffering in terms of getting jobs. So players don't do what fans want them to do, which is not win games. What you are hoping for as an organization is maybe, just maybe, they're not as prepared for the game as maybe they should be. And that's where the conspiracy talk came about when they lost to the Raiders, where they blew the defensive coverage. It was like, okay, the players didn't blow the defensive coverage. They did. Like the coaching staff did. The coach's staff called the cover zero play, and that was what you're not supposed to do in that situation. But this win hurts for Jets fans, because if you're going to give them a season at 0-13, where it's just a lost cause, the prize on the other end was a franchise quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is going into the NFL very much like Andrew Luck. It's a surefire win, you know, quarterback. He's got all the tools. He's got size, accuracy, strength, smarts. He can run. He's got every element that you are looking for when you grade out a professional quarterback. Now, some guys come into this league and we give them C-plus grades, right, when they get drafted, like Patrick Mahomes, where everybody goes, what were you thinking? You moved up in the draft to get this kid out of a Big Ten fire power school? Those don't work out at all. And what does he do? He surprises you, becomes a superstar and whatnot. But Kansas City, when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, didn't say, whoa, whew, that gamble really paid off. Thank God. No, they did their evaluation and said, look, we're seeing something nobody else is seeing. So let the pundits take their shots at us, but we're noticing things in his game that nobody else is noticing. And for us, it's worth drafting him. And we'll be right, because what we're seeing, we think will play out at the next level. Trevor Lawrence is different than that scenario, because that scenario is, we might find a diamond in the rough here. Like, nobody else is on this guy's radar, and that's not Trevor Lawrence. Remember when Andrew Luck came into this league? Guaranteed superstar. You get him, that's it. You're in. You're in for 20 years, whatever. We didn't know then he would retire before he turned 30. But think about being a Colts fan. You had all those years with Peyton Manning. Gone to the Super Bowl, right? Lost a Super Bowl. You're going to the playoffs every year. And then Manning has a neck injury, and you put up with one lousy fall, one lousy season, where every week that team stunk. I think Kerry Collins was their quarterback. And then you get Andrew Luck at the end of the deal. And then you go from, we're going to the playoffs, and we're one of the teams that could win the Super Bowl, and you know we're one of the elite teams in the AFC, and what going up against Tom Brady and the Patriots, and you take 1 year off, and then you get Andrew Luck, and it's back to the same thing. You're fighting the Patriots in the conference championship. This is what the Jets were hoping to get as an organization, not the players, the organization. The same kind of, finally, we've locked it in. I've told Ron this. Justin Herbert, you're so blessed. It may be an off year, his rookie year. Who cares? You've got a star in the making, man. Got a star quarterback. He stays healthy 10 years. That kid is going to build. If they build that team around him, that kid is going to get you close to the postseason. You might make a run on an off year for the Chiefs. You might even make a run at the Chiefs. Who knows what the future holds for everybody? Jets don't have that in Sam Darnold. But they could have it with Trevor Lawrence, and that's why that win is just for a Jet fan. Players, on the other hand, they don't want to be 0-16. You just don't want the resume. It's too tough. This league, staying in this league is really hard. It's hard to get back in when you're out too. Right? You mean some guys don't? Some guys do. Some guys are like, well, I took a year off, but they needed a defensive back, and I happened to be a defensive back, so I got a phone call. My agent got a phone call. I showed up, played on the practice squad a little bit, now I'm back in the league. But you don't want to be on an 0-16 team. But as an organization, this stings. Really does sting. All right, Connor Ogarza going to join us Saturday down south. He's got a good site. Good site for SEC football. However, this is going to be a larger context. What is the committee thinking? Where are we going with this sport? Arrows are being flung all over the place. A change needs to come. Is it possible that we may have change coming based on just this year, or is it just another one of those keep complaining, but nothing's ever going anywhere? We'll see. And we'll talk to him next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, make sure your family doesn't have a fever by taking their temperatures before dinner and in the morning. Stay safe with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It takes an accurate reading in seconds. It's the number one preferred thermometer of pediatricians. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Connor O'Gara, Saturday down south, talk some college football. And boy, is there a lot to unpack. How are you, Connor?
I'm doing well. You know, it's just a casual weekend here. Nothing really going on. I guess there's like a couple of bowl games or whatever, an SEC championship that has like nearly 100 points. I mean, you know, coaching carousel, just quiet times in college football. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Committee, they're taking some arrows. It didn't seem shocking, though, the top four. But where are they? Where are people really taking their shots on how the committee did its final ranking?
You know, it's the Ohio State thing, and Ohio State getting to only play six games while other teams had to play double-digit games, I think it's frustrating. I think it's frustrating to see the double standard that's used for Ohio State versus a team like Cincinnati, where Cincinnati gets all these games canceled and postponed and whatnot, and doesn't necessarily get the benefit of the doubt from the selection committee, while Ohio State gets all these games canceled, and it's like, ah, you know what? We thought you were really good coming into the year, and you haven't given us a reason to show you aren't, so I guess we're just going to roll with that. And I think that's the thing that fans are so frustrated by, because it's like, well, if we can't beat Ohio State in the preseason rankings, then we don't have a shot when it comes to a year like this. And Texas A&M, I thought, was a victim of that as well. I thought Texas A&M got a raw deal from getting, you know, boosted out of the field by not only Ohio State, but Notre Dame as well. I mean, Notre Dame just got smoked in a conference championship game against a team that is going to be in the playoff in a similar situation of what we're going to see with playoff conditions. Meanwhile, A&M has done everything you could have wanted a team to do after losing their number one team in the country 2 months ago, and they're not getting the benefit of the doubt. So I think that there are a lot of people who looked at those two things and thought, man, this system is not necessarily what we had hoped it would be when we switched from the BCS to the college football playoff.
I remember about 15 years ago, and you probably remember it better than me, but there was USC and Oregon, and then Auburn out of nowhere was going unbeaten, and they had started so far back in the rankings, back when rankings mattered, and they were trying to climb up, but they could never get in because of the two teams at the top. I thought the committee was supposed to kind of do away with that, like saying, look, the rankings are fine, and they are for promotional use, but we're doing something completely different. It didn't seem like they did this year. You're right. They seemed to just grab onto Ohio State, the preseason expectation, and said, we're just going to roll with this until somebody tells us not to.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And, you know, you look back at that 2004, you know, Auburn team and how fun it was with Ronnie and Cadillac. And, I mean, that was one of the first teams I remember. I was actually in high school at the time, and I remember thinking, like, wait a minute, this team's going to go undefeated and not get a chance to play for a national championship? What are we doing with this sport? And now you're seeing still, 16 years later, we're asking some of the same sorts of questions where it doesn't feel like it's a system that caters to all. And I get it. It's a very subjective way of being able to put teams into the postseason. I get all that, and it's tough to simulate that because we don't have the same sort of schedule in college football that we do in other sports. And it's less games, and it's against different competition. We can't just pretend like Cincinnati's playing the exact same schedule as an SEC team. We just can't. But at the same time, you know, it does feel like this is a very exclusive thing. And Danny Cannell's point of this being an invitational is starting to make more and more sense when you see Ohio State only have to play six games and not look very good in those two games against quality competition and still be able to make it in the field. There are a lot of upset fan bases. I can't say that they're wrong. I mean, at this point, you feel like the system's working against you.
I saw this interesting number that stated that, look, out of the 28 top four teams that this committee has selected since its inception, there's only been 11 different teams. on the one hand, you say good for the teams that consistently make this thing. But on the flip side, it doesn't seem like it's good for the sport. Where do you feel on this, on that, on those numbers?
I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good long term. I think that there's, or short term, to be honest. You know, there are a lot of people who will say, oh, well, these teams got the benefit of the doubt because they have big fan bases and it's easy for, in terms of like a draw, for a national draw. I sort of push back on that. And I come back to this comp. I have two buddies who are Iowa graduates, right? They're diehard Iowa fans. They're kind of casual college football fans. Are they more likely to watch Alabama against Notre Dame, or are they more likely to turn on Alabama versus Cincinnati? It's the latter. They're right. More interested in seeing what a group of five team can finally do. And, oh, Texas A&M getting in for the first time. Let's think about even last year with LSU getting into the playoff for the first time. LSU became America's team. And I think part of that was because we hadn't seen LSU in the playoff before. And that was one of the fun things that everybody who didn't have a prior rooting interest could kind of gravitate to. We are lacking variety in this system, and it is hurting the sport on its biggest stage. That's the problem right now. And I've never been one of these people that says we definitely need to go to eight, because I think there are downsides to that. I didn't want to see, you know, the Pac-12 champion get into the playoffs just because it played in the Pac-12, and it shouldn't have the same path as the SEC or the ACC when it looks better, and we know it's better. But at the same time, what are we really doing if we're looking at this from that standpoint? And we're saying, oh, you know, it's basically like eight teams have a chance to make the playoff on any given year, and it's really not going to change unless we overhaul the system. Yeah, to me, I think we're getting to that point now where we're seeing the sense of urgency more and more.
The BCS system, you told Boise State for years, you're never playing for a national title. It seems like committee is telling teams like Cincinnati and UCF, you'll never play for a national title. Should those schools, should those group of fives, the group schools, should they just say, look, we're out of this thing. We're going to do our own thing. We got to have something to play for outside of just a conference title. Is that a possibility? Is that realistic? Or is it just, are there just too many strings to pull to let something like that happen?
You know, I think the financial benefit of that, of just if what would happen if one could get in, is the reason that it hasn't happened yet, right? I mean, let's think about if Cincinnati had actually been in that spot, or this weekend we just got craziness and the selection committee said, you know what, America, you want it, you got it. Cincinnati's into the playoff. The financial boost that those programs would get who don't have those budgets that these Power Five programs do, I think that's always still kind of there. And I'm not one to say that it definitely can't happen. I still go back to that Houston team with Tom Herman that beat Oklahoma and actually had a chance and would have had a chance had it gone undefeated. The system would not have left them out. But it's always been about you need to beat that big-time Power Five program, and then you need to run the table. And that situation hasn't necessarily gone the way of the group of five teams yet. So I think that financial incentive to get there and to say, well, as long as there's that little sliver of a chance, then we always have to kind of keep that door open. We can't just definitively close that door if that's there. I think that's always been in the back of their minds, and I think it's going to continue to be moving forward.
So we had a year that was obviously thwarted for COVID that now has opened up the conversation that maybe the committee and all of this is not really that's something that needs changed. In the end, though, Connor, is this just a COVID 2020 thing, or do we just go back to the same old, hey, everybody's playing their schedule, we got some non-conference games battling it out to start the season, kind of doing it what we used to do, and then the conversation dies down? Or is this really going to open the door for, hey, something's broken and we need to fix it?
I think it's the latter. I think when you're seeing this many people who are prominent in the sport, even somebody like Kirk Herbstreit, who has as respected a voice as anyone, is saying this system is flawed. It's very flawed at this point. And we're seeing it play out. Yes, we are seeing it play out because of a COVID year, a year in which we're talking about one team having to play six games, another team having to play 11 games. It took this type of year for us to truly take a step back and say, man, there's something truly wrong with this when you can see it play out where teams like Iowa State get the benefit of the doubt for having two losses, one of which being a 17-point loss at home to a group of five team. And meanwhile, the group of five team who they lost to still can't get the benefit of the doubt, despite the fact they have the better record and they have the head-to-head advantage. So I think that we are going to see changes moving forward. And I would like to see changes in the non-conference play before we see expansion to the playoffs. And I think that we're heading in that direction. I want to see more of these Power 5 teams play each other in non-conference and not get so caught up in the final season end win total, because I know that's a big deal and that's the reason this hasn't happened yet. But I'd love to get to the place where everybody's playing 8 conference games and then they're playing at least 2 Power 5 conferences in the non-conference. And I think that we can see kind of how these conferences shake out, and that gives even the Group of 5 a little bit more of a chance perhaps, and we get to feel like this isn't necessarily a system based on preseason narratives as much.
Connor Algarra, Saturday Down South, a fantastic website. It's just absolutely great. Really appreciate your time. We always love having you on, my friend. Happy holidays to you, and hope to catch up with you soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Sounds good.
You got it. Connor Algarra, Saturday Down South. It's not just an SEC site. They do have a lot of cool college football articles. But if you love Saturday in the South, if you love the college football atmosphere in the South, great website. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, thoughts on some of the things that we're talking about with the broken college football system? There might be a way to fix it, but I don't know if it's coming soon. We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. The Jake Asman Show coming up next on this network, and I can't wait to hear what Jake has to say about the Jets' win.
He just sent me his outline for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's topic number one.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
That could question. Be topic number 2, 3, and 4. I'm not sure yet.
It's great. A diehard Jet fan at the network. Dying with this team. Now dying because they win. It's been great. All right. Our thanks to Connor Algarra, Saturday Down South. All right. Listen, we know the system is broken. We get it, right? We've been saying this for a while, right? There's just no way. The problem is there's no answer, right? There's really no answer because you got to understand college football. It doesn't want a watered-down regular season. It doesn't. The regular season matters too much. It matters in ticket sales. It matters in promotion. It matters in atmosphere. It matters in urgency. It matters. Look, every year Alabama, for example, Nick Saban complains, when we had before COVID, would always complain about, hey, man, you got to go to these games. Right, you got to go to these games, right? He'd see a half empty stadium or three quarters full stadium for a game against whoever UT Martin or something, and it'd be like, hey, you got to go. Well, you keep watering down the regular season, multiply that by 1,000, and that's what you're going to get across the country. It's not just diehards in Alabama filling up Bryant-Denny Stadium for 95,000. It's not that. It's imagine that you have other things to do at Colorado, right? If your team, if the regular season is just this watered down, it doesn't really matter, 8-16 teams get in, et cetera, then you got a fan base that is just going, yeah, wake me up when this thing is all, when we're in. They don't want that. And I don't blame them. They have something that's so different, right? The NFL season is nice and long and we get a nice, good playoff race, and college basketball's regular season is almost meaningless until you get to the point where it starts to matter, where teams are scrambling to try to get impressing the committee. But college football, you want the atmosphere, you want the chaos, but you can't have it without a postseason that has some element of not fairness per se, but a feeling of completion, a feeling of, okay, this is how it's going to be. This, again, if you go to 8 teams, fine, I can buy that. If you start then getting, when you get to 18, if you get to 8 teams, all right, and then you still complain, we can't do anymore. We're not going to 32. There's not going to be a, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if we played college football till March? We're not doing that. Right. So we're not doing this. Hey, I have a 128 team playoff tournament. No, we're not doing those that nonsense stuff. We're not. It's going to be 8. God, if it ever got to 16, you could just kiss the regular season goodbye. 8 might be the max, but I guarantee you we get to 8. They'll be like, this is an outrage. So and so is 10. This is an outrage. Because that's what happens. You hear me complain about it all the time with the college basketball tournament, right? 68 teams and we're still complaining. Why? Because we complain all the time. There's no system. When you're judging your playoff teams by a committee vote without a system in place, that's what you get, right? Look, the NFL has a structure, right? You can go to their website, or you can just Google it, and you'll see the huge list of tiebreakers. This is the rule, right? If you're tied during the regular season, it goes to here, then 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 it goes to here. Finally, they get to coin flip, right? If you get to coin flip, you don't have any right to complain. Because the NFL has said, here's a whole bunch of tiebreakers. Let's figure this out. But if you get to coin flip, that's it. Right? Now, everybody knows the rules.
You're absolutely right. If we had eight teams, number nine would complain, especially right? This year.
Kirk Herbstreit might go, we have to change this. This is totally unfair. Well, ninth team can't get in?
You know who the ninth team is? Georgia.
Georgia.
Of course they're going to complain.
You don't think that fan base is going to go screaming in an eight-team playoff? Better believe they will.
Georgia can be sitting there like, yeah, Florida over me.
But the good news is, if you're looking for change, is I feel like 2020 is finally the year that broke the pundits, right? A lot of them beat the drum because of who they work for, right? Just towing the company line. This is great. Remember ESPN when it was on New Year's Eve? Remember when ESPN was saying how, look at Times Square. Look at all the people jumping on their phones to watch the college. Nobody was watching the college football playoff in Times Square.
No.
But that was the company line, right? Stupid us. We scheduled these games on the most important holiday that people like to go out and have a good time. Whoops. We're never doing that again.
Yep.
Right?
Could have done it this year.
Right. Everyone had to beat the drum for the success of the playoff, when it was, what it was about. Finally, like guys like Kirk Herbstreit are saying that's enough. We got to fix it. You're starting to see a lot of the guys that make their living following the sport, commenting on the sport, talking about the sport, finally saying 2020 might have broken me. This is it. We've got to find a different way. And that's at least good news. If you get the pressure coming in that direction, just maybe. It's not going to be tomorrow, and it may not be the next day, but down the road, there might be just enough interest to go, hey, let's figure a new system. Jake Asman Show coming up next. Thanks for joining us on Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. And again, have a great holiday week. Sports Map Radio.